Hello everybody, this is the translation of the message for Sunday the 6th of July. The Lord's Mountain Brigade. Last week with the young people we thought about vacation. A time to relax, a time to recharge our batteries and perhaps a time to draw closer to the Lord and Saviour. As the Lord Jesus said, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." Spending quality time in peace, without the usual routine, stress and worries, being able to spend time with the Lord. These moments of meditation, of communion with Him in prayer, are important. Today I would like to take you to the mountains, if you like a title for my message. Personally, I used to prefer the sea, but in recent years I have learned to admire the mountains more and more. You see the grandeur, the beauty, the wonder of God's creation. I hope it won't traumatize our Dutch friends when we talk about the mountains. It may be a foreign landscape, but I am sure that together we will learn something that will help us grow in our Christian lives. As most of you know, Lillian and I represented the church at our synod. During this time, several new pastors were ordained within the union. One of them was Jean-François Ragueroux, pastor of the CRS Mountain Division. I had the privilege of speaking with him one evening, listening to what they do, which was absolutely fascinating and truly inspired me for today's message. Discussing with him the joys, challenges, and dangers of climbing. The more I thought about what he said and explained to me, the more clearly I saw the parallels with our life together within the church. He had a tangible passion. When he started talking about the mountains, his eyes would light up. He was all fired up. The Bible speaks a lot about mountains and future prophecies that have yet to be fulfilled, often mention them. Today, as individuals and as a church community, we are going to become mountaineers and discover some basic principles if we want to climb a mountain to reach its summit. The first thing I learned from him was that you had to have a plan, a vision, a goal to achieve. You don't start climbing a mountain without a goal in mind. Look at Caleb in Joshua chapter 14, verses 12 to 14. "Now give me this hill country that the Lord promised me that day. You yourself heard then that the Anakites were there, and their cities were large and fortified. But the Lord helping me, I will drive them out just as he said." Then Joshua blessed Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and gave him Hebron as his inheritance. So Hebron has belonged to Caleb, son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, ever since, because he followed the Lord, the God of Israel, wholeheartedly. He had asked the Lord to give him this mountain. Look at verse 14. God gave the mountain to Caleb because he completely followed the Lord, the God of Israel. Here was an 80-year-old man, still active for God, still driven by a vision that compelled him to drive out the evil in the cities there. In today's language, we would say, mission impossible. An 80-year-old man wanting to take these fortified cities. And us today? What is our vision for our nation? Or, to bring us a little closer, what are our plans for the Dordogne region or for this town of Bergerac? I had the joy and pleasure earlier this week of being in Paris for a meeting of the CNEF, the National Council for the Elimination of All Forms of Discrimination. And do you know what their vision is for France? I'll tell you what it is. One evangelical church for every 10,000 inhabitants in France. You might say, mission impossible. You might say, that's all well and good, but it's a dream, and immediately start thinking of all the reasons why it couldn't happen. Look at our Bible reading. God granted Caleb's desire. An 80-year-old man obtained what he desired. Why? Because he fully followed the Lord God of Israel. Fast forward a little and think about Operation Mobilisation. George Verwer wanted to buy a boat to spread the gospel throughout the world. I remember when this idea was first brought up. People came up with all sorts of negative reasons. Buy a boat, run it, look at the cost. Do you know what happened? God didn't give George Verwer one boat, but two. The Logos and the Doulos. Incredible. And us today, we have the same God as Caleb, the same God as George Verwer. He is also our Lord and Saviour, so why are we trying to limit God? During this holiday season, let us place ourselves in God's presence and ask him to help us cast a vision for the church here, for the town of Bergerac, and even more broadly, for Department 24, the Dordogne. Preparation. The next thing he told me was about preparation. If we want to conquer a mountain, the first thing we must do is prepare. Before the group goes near the mountain, careful preparation is necessary. Choosing the right clothing, suitable footwear, appropriate food, and all the equipment needed to meet the challenge ahead. Compass, map, ropes, hammer, ice axe, etc. You'll notice here that he used the word group. He told me that one of the greatest dangers in the mountains is setting out unprepared without the right equipment, and above all, setting out alone. One of the greatest dangers in the mountains and the leading cause of death is being ill-prepared and going it alone. What about us? As we think about the mountain we are about to conquer, all the equipment we need is right here in God's Word, the Bible. There is nothing magical or spectacular about preparing for God's school. What God expects of us is what Paul told the believers in Ephesians in chapter 6, verses 10 to 18. Put on the armour of God. Verse 18 is particularly relevant. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. So here we have a list of equipment needed to accomplish this task. If we review this list of items Paul told the Ephesians they needed, where do we stand? Paul's exhortation in verse 11. Put on the full armour of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Was to put on the whole armour of God. The whole thing, not just one or two pieces, but the complete equipment. When you're trying to climb a mountain, you need to have everything you need with you. If you look closely at the armour of God, you'll see that there's nothing to protect your back. Everything is facing forward. The protection and weapons of war are all facing forward. Look at what Paul said to the Philippians in chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press onward, the goal, onward towards the goal, to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. The plan, vision, is clear. The preparation is complete. The next step is to move forward and make progress. As I mentioned before, one of the greatest dangers in climbing a mountain is trying to climb it alone. You can get stuck, lost, exposed to avalanches, the cold or an accident, and if you're alone, your chances of survival are greatly reduced. The idea of a team, of walking together, is therefore essential when it comes to conquering a mountain. After planning and preparation, it's time for action. We're ready and, as the English say, let's go. The first thing the team does when they arrive at the foot of the mountain is to tie themselves to one another with a rope. Each person is securely attached to another, ready to set off on this adventure together. No one strays to the left or the right, no one is left behind, and everyone depends on one another. Listening to this, I sat back and thought, what a beautiful picture of the church. My mind turned to Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 12. Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. a cord of three strands is not quickly broken. Do you see the picture? The three strands are so tightly intertwined that it is extremely difficult to break them. There is the Lord, our brothers and sisters in Christ, all intertwined, held together. By what? Through love. Not a sentimental bond, but a real love that finds its roots in Christ. Look at the love Christ has for us. Paul speaks of it in Romans chapter 5, verse 8. But God demonstrates his love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So since we are now declared righteous through his sacrifice, John writes this again in his epistle in 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. We often forget the last part of this verse. The world does not know us. The outside world does not understand what unites us, which is the love of God. 1 John chapter 4, verse 21, John writes, And he has given us this command: anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. This, my friend, is what unites us, our love for God and for our brothers and sisters. So if we want to conquer a mountain, we must be united, climb together and reach our goal together. Paul, in his letter to the church at Philippi, uses the word all no fewer than 26 times. Now do you understand why we must be together to climb this mountain? If someone slips during the ascent, the others will pull them up because they are connected to each other. If we are unsure, being connected to each other helps reassure everyone because we know we depend on each other. It is also important that we keep moving forward to reach our goal when we climb. Those who seek their way up the mountain, those who choose the right path, need the support of those who accompany them. With each step, they gain a new foothold, and as they advance, they have the certainty that the force is behind them. If they slip or encounter difficulties, they can count on the strength of the entire team to hold them back. They don't turn around to say, I told you so, you shouldn't have tried that, or to take their knife and cut the rope to save themselves. No, they hold him firmly, help him get back on his feet, and then try again. Does this describe our situation here in Bergerac, or the church you are part of today? Is there a fear of failure, a lack of confidence, a personal ambition to go it alone? If this is how we see things, then sadly we will never accomplish anything. Remember that we are in union with the Lord. There is nothing in the Christian armour in Ephesians 6 that speaks of going back, of staying still. It is all about moving forward. A few months ago, I believe it was Pascal who gave a message about Peter, ready to get out of the boat as the Lord had asked him. What about us? Are we ready to step out of our comfort zone? Look at Peter, an experienced fisherman, an expert in steering a boat, who is asked to get out of the boat. And look, as soon as he took his eyes off the Lord, he began to sink. Today we are not on the Sea of Galilee, but in the mountains, and look what is happening. The team is progressing up the mountain. No one is running ahead, leaving the others behind. No one is pulling in different directions and going nowhere. But everyone is working as a team to conquer the mountain they are climbing. A total interdependence with one another, with a shared vision and a common goal. Upon reaching the summit, Jean-François told me that it was an extraordinary feeling to reach the summit. We are planting the flag. Everyone has arrived safe and sound. Of course, fatigue is there, but it disappears with the victory and joy of having successfully conquered the mountain. As a church here in Bergerac, are we ready to take on the mountains for our Lord and Saviour? I'm sure today you can give me 100 reasons why you don't want to climb mountains, but remember God's word in Joshua chapter 1, verse 5. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them." And of course, we have the Lord's command in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 to 20. "Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age.'" So to conclude today, what are we going to do? Will we join the Lord's Mountain Brigade and accomplish great things for him? Or will we list the negative aspects and continue as before? The Lord's words in Matthew 28 are not an option, but a marching order for Christ's disciples. Satan rejoices when we wander in the valley, happy to watch the world go by, picking a few flowers, admiring the scenery. He takes no risks and is satisfied with mediocre Christianity. But when, like Caleb, we demand a mountain, just as the Israelites marched around the walls of Jericho and the fortress of Jericho collapsed. Look at the Lord's people in the time of the prophet Haggai. They were living their lives, they were happy until the prophet's words awakened them. The Bible tells us that they went up the mountain, not just for a pleasant walk, but they went up the mountain to chop wood, bring it back, and build the house of the Lord. A lot of effort. And the result? The Lord was glorified by what they had accomplished for him. That's when Satan becomes angry, when his strongholds are destroyed and God's name is glorified. So let us leave here today with a fresh vision, ready to join the Lord's Mountain Brigade and accomplish something for him that will glorify not us, but our great God and Saviour. Amen.